Cavalcade of Kings. Queen Victoria, Part 1. The cavalcade of kings rides on. Amongst these proud monarchs, none bore their burden of responsibility more gloriously, more courageously, or more graciously than England's greatest queen, Victoria. The shining example set by Victoria and her beloved consort Albert in the practice of every domestic virtue, together with their stainless lives, piety, and tender care of their 9 children, have borne rich fruit in the stability of the English throne. Victoria was the only child of Edward, Duke of Kent, 4th son of George III. Her mother was Princess Victoria Maria Louisa, daughter of the Duke of Saxe-Coburg and sister of King Leopold of Belgium. Victoria was born at Kensington Palace on May 24, 1819. It is now June the 20th, 1837. At 2 o'clock in the morning, William IV of England had passed away. At 5 o'clock on the same morning, His Grace the Archbishop of Canterbury and the Chamberlain, Lord Conyngham, arrived at the silent portals of Kensington Palace.
The palace is as silent as the grave, my son. It is regrettable that we're forced to place such a heavy burden upon the frail shoulders of this sweet girl. It is a pity that she could not be permitted to enjoy a few more years of youth untrammeled by the cares and responsibilities of statecraft. But God wills otherwise.
The call of her tender years will find an echo in the hearts of every Englishman, my lord. It will arouse their chivalry and inspire them to a loyalty which perhaps no king could kindle in their breasts. Great men will rise and go forth in the name of their queen. They will conquer their adversaries at home and abroad. Stirring deeds will be perpetrated and great glory won for England in the name of Victoria.
My son, is it not a little premature to forecast such things?
I speak as my heart directs me, my lord. The blood that flows in the veins of our gentle little queen is the blood of Alfred the Great, from whom she is descended. And I sincerely believe that Victoria will prove worthy of her glorious heritage. I do not fear for her. I pity her, for her burden will be a very heavy one to carry. Come, our Lord Bishop, have no misgivings. The dawn is breaking. The sun of a new era is rising in the sky. The reign of Victoria the Great has begun.
May God shower his blessings upon her. And now, my son, time is passing. Knock upon the door and rouse the servants. Our business cannot wait. Porter is probably asleep on duty. Knock again, my son.
Ah, we've roused someone at last.
And what might your business be?
Oh, your pardon, my Lord Bishop. And you, my Lord Conham. Will you please enter?
Thank you.
Can I be of service to you, my lords?
Yes, my man. We seek an interview with Her Royal Highness, Princess Victoria.
Now, my lord?
Yes, now.
But, my lord, Her Highness is not yet away.
Our mission is of the gravest urgency. Be good enough to deliver our message to Her Highness.
Yes, my lord. Will you both kindly wait in this anteroom? The fire's still burning. I will rouse Madame Leyden, Her Highness Governess.
Come, my Lord Bishop. This hall is like a tomb. Ah, this is more cheerful. Let's warm ourselves by the fire. I hope Madame Leyden will not keep us waiting long.
Madame Leyden. A very estimable lady, my son. But I do not entirely approve of the authoritative and possessive attitude she adopts in regard to the princess. We must watch Madame very closely. She must not be permitted too great an influence over her young charge.
This is a most unusual hour, my lord, to call upon Her Royal Highness. I must protest. The princess is in such a sweet sleep that she cannot be disturbed.
Madame Leyden, we have come on business of state to the queen, and even her sleep must give way to that.
The queen? That can only mean one thing, my lord. King William has passed away.
At 2 o'clock this morning, madam.
Then I shall arouse Her Majesty at once, my lord. Pray excuse me. Wake up, my child. Wake up, wake up.
Oh, good Leyden. I implore you to let me sleep. It is not yet time for
my child. His Grace, the Archbishop of Canterbury, and my Lord Conyngham have arrived. They seek an interview with you.
With me? So early in the morning? Are you sure they wish to see me, Leyden?
Yes, my child.
Oh, I should have to dress.
No, do not wait to dress. There is no time. Your dressing gown and a shawl will suffice. Quickly, quickly put it on. Here are your slippers.
My hair.
Your hair doesn't matter. Hurry, child.
I am ready, Lazen. Let us go down.
You must go alone.
Oh, but Lazen...
Alone. I must arouse your mother.
Oh, it is a pity to do so. Poor Mama is in such a sound sleep.
The Duchess must be roused just the same.
Lazen, what is the matter with you this morning? You speak so harshly, so strangely.
Ah, my little one. Can't you see that my heart is almost bursting? Only my stern control prevents my tears from falling. You are so young, so pitifully young. Too young for such responsibility.
I don't understand you.
My child, I call you that for the last time. For you and I must bid farewell to this sweet intimacy that has existed between us. You are no longer my charge. I no longer your governess. Your carefree girlhood has ended. And when you return to this room from the momentous interview which awaits you downstairs, you will do so as the Queen of England, the highest state for which I have striven so arduously to prepare you. Go now. You have a duty to perform.
Queen of England. Queen of England. Oh, Lazen, at last my call has come. I won't have to wear any more mended muslin dresses. I'll never have to bear any more scoldings from Mama. I'll not have to... Oh, Lazen, what am I saying? My head is in a whirl. I am being unjust, unkind. I must apologize to dear Mama when she awakens. Are you sure it's proper for me to go downstairs, clad in my dressing gown?
Quite proper, Your Majesty.
Then I shall go at once.
Your Majesty will not falter in her duty.
No, Lazen. I promise I shall not falter. But oh, I wish my knees wouldn't tremble so. Perhaps if I run downstairs quickly, I shall not notice them trembling.
The Queen of England does not run downstairs like a hoyden to give audience to her lord. She goes quietly and with dignity.
Well, I had better go now and... Oh, Lazen, I implore you to come with me just to the end of the corridor. Please, Lazen.
As Your Majesty commands.
Let us go then.
After you, madame.
Must you be so formal?
Your Majesty forgets.
Oh, please, my dear Lazen, do not raise a barrier between us. I want you always to remain with me as my friend. And now, I will go to my lord's, alone.
Oh, at last someone is approaching.
Your Majesty.
My lord, then it is true my beloved uncle the king has passed away.
But 3 hours ago, madam.
My lord bishop, my heart grieves for him and mourns his passing. But I think it's a happy release. He suffered such bitter pain.
He suffered agony, but thank God his end was peaceful.
And my dear aunt, the queen, how is she bearing the blow?
Very bravely. It was by her desire I came here. The gracious lady thought an account of the peaceful end of the king would console his successor, from whom she asked permission to remain at Windsor Castle till after the funeral.
Tell the queen that I beg she will consult nothing but her own health and convenience, and to remain at Windsor as long as she pleases.
Madam, in speaking of the Queen, the word dowager must now be prefixed.
I know that, my Lord Cunningham, but I will not be the first to remind her of it. And now, there are certain matters of state you wish to discuss with me.
Yes, madam. My Lord Melvin, the Prime Minister, will soon arrive to instruct Your Majesty in the forms to be observed. And at 11 o'clock, Your Majesty will meet her first council fair at the palace.
I shall be ready, my Lord.
Are there any instructions Your Majesty would care to give me?
I have none to give, my lord. You know all this so much better than I do, and I leave it all to you. Ah, my lords, this awful responsibility imposed on me so suddenly and at so early a period of my life has, for the moment, robbed me of complete control of myself. But I will try diligently to do my duty, for I have learned from infancy to respect and love the constitution of my native land. All I can say is that I shall be loyal to my trust and my sacred duty to England and her people. And all I ask in return is that you will be patient and forbear with me until my feet are firmly set upon the right path.